world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So here's what I'm thinking about this morning. By the way, good morning. What day is the 22nd? The solstice was yesterday, right? Solstice was yesterday? Crazy stuff going on. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? That's kind of the theme here at Coach Dave. I'm going to jump into that a little bit today. Last night we had our family, immediate family, I guess you'd call it immediate family, get-together, Christmas get-together last night. And never got a final count, but I think there were 44 of us in there. That's just kind of my immediate family, right? And got together, had a little just a little Christmas celebration at Sky High. It's wonderful, and man, ain't nothing like family. I hope all of you had a chance to get together and just experience that. You know, let me ask you a question, just kind of off topic, but really on topic. Why do we hate our friends, our family so much? And if I were to open it up right now and say, okay, tell me about how many a-holes there are in your family, the list would be so long. Why do we hate family? You know, I'm telling you the truth, right? Or why does family hate you? In every family, we hate family members more than we do other people. It's really something we ought to, do a study on. So you go, what is that? What is that person? That's my niece. That's my nephew. That's my sister. Why do I want to fight with them all the time? Well, we do, don't we? I'm not going to get there. I'm just saying that when you come together like we did last night, there's just this tension. Why? Well, I know why there's tension with me, because This thing right here on top of my hat. I didn't wear it last night, but that thing right there, that's a dividing line. I don't know if you ever noticed it. It divides both ways. It divides laterally and horizontal. Is that horizontal? The cross is a divider, boys and girls. It's a divider. Hey, by the way, we had a gathering of, I don't know, not a whole lot of us, about 10 of us, I think, at Sky High on whatever night that was, Saturday night, and had a great time. We decided we're going to do it again. We're going to do it in 2 weeks. Mark it down on your calendar. Local people, we're going to do it in 2 weeks. We'll get you the details. Mel's going to host. We're going to kind of move them around. Mel's going to host this one. We'll get you information. It's going to be Saturday. I think that's the 3rd of January. Would that be right, Spencer? I don't know. Maybe somebody can check it. I'll get you more information on that, though. Okay, that's the next gathering. You know what I found? You know what I really realized? I really did realize this. We need fellowship. You know, raise your hand out there if you feel like you're the only one sometimes. I know. Nobody, guys. Yeah, I know. My wife just yelled at me. What, honey? Okay, there she just, she's, God, I love my wife. Third Saturday of the month. We're going to begin doing it every month, the third Saturday of the month. And it was just so encouraging to me, just the 10 of us that were there, whatever was there, just being around like-minded people. Weren't arguing about this, weren't arguing about that, just kind of fellowshipping. And so we're going to, third Saturday of the month, we're going to begin doing that. We're going to move it around. Those of you who are local, just want to encourage you about that. And I wrote down January 3rd. That may not be right. I'll have to check that now. So we'll get that going on with this. And again, man, conflict is everywhere you look. So here's where anybody have anything for the good of the group? It's been a weekend. By the way, Thursday, Friday, going dark here at Coach Dave Live. Thursday, Friday, going dark here at Coach Dave. Okay? So hopefully you all come back on Monday, but Thursday and Friday we're dead. Come on in, my moderator, and then Mel wants to say something. Go ahead, Chad.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to have my hand up.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for not meaning to have your hand up. Good to hear you out there. Mel?
Yeah. So I was, we're kind of tentatively looking at January the 17th.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah. Okay. I don't think I can get my house ready by the 3rd.
I get it. I get it. January 17th, we'll start kicking them off then. Okay. That'll be good. That'll be good. I've been doing a little bit of, this is going to be good today. Stay with me. Somebody help me out here. What's the theme, Coach Dave Life? Anybody know the theme here?
Who told you? And what can you do? Where do you believe that?
Come on, Betty. Come on, Betty.
I'm not awake.
Who told you that? And why do you believe them? Who told you that? And why do you believe them? Okay, so I want to do an opening of a little bit of a clip here today so that I know that I'm not the only guy, okay? And it's a movie called Enemies Within the Church. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Now, you have to buy the movie, okay? You have to buy the movie, Enemies Within the Church. Because look, the greatest division that I come across on a daily basis is amongst believers. Would anybody want to give me a thumbs up and say, yep, that's it for sure. And why? Because if I was the enemy, okay, Spencer, let's do that real quick. Pull up John F. Kennedy. Pull up number 6. Pull up number 6 and apply this not only to the government, but apply this to every aspect of life. And ask yourself this, if you were the devil, how would you operate? Now, this is the speech, supposedly, that got John F. Kennedy killed back in 1963, supposedly. But listen, and apply that to where we are today. Because why? Satan is not only just a liar, he's the father of lies. Okay? Who told you that? Why should you believe it? It's only 2 minutes. Quickly, go.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people.
Wow, seems like that battle's still going on, right? Huh? Informing the American people, educating the American people. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? It's the heart of what we're doing here. I'm trying to get my computer's a little bit messed up here this morning. Let me get over there. Okay, there we go. Hang on, bear one. Okay, so who told you that and why do you believe it?
The enemy within.
Pull up for me if you could. Pull up. Golly. I'm trying to figure out the order in which to do this. I'm sorry. Enemies within the church. Go ahead. Now, remember we said this, right? How many different denominations? 42,000 different denominations of the truth. Every one of them believe the truth, right? The enemy sows discord amongst the brethren, right? You're not getting along in your families. You don't like the people you have. You get one, right? Discord, okay. Enemies within the church. This is the official trailer of this movie. The movie's about 2 hours long, but this is, I'll show you the link how to get it. Go ahead and play.
What happened to the church? To the living, powerful, transformative, nation-shaking Christianity.
What they're trying to do is completely demolish Western civilization and then to rebuild it
in a just society.
How do you break down American Christianity?
I think the problem today in our culture is many of our words have been co-opted and stolen and dumbed down and reversed.
Social justice is sold as something that it isn't. Critical race theory is sold as something that it isn't.
Whiteness has caused blindness of heart. Whiteness has caused blindness of heart.
When you preach victimization, it always leads to vengeance and vice. Us against them, me against you. I want my pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily
Freeze
Marxist.
That. Freeze that. Quite. Freeze that. Did you hear that today? Go back there. Play that clip again. Just give us, go back 10 seconds and listen to what he says here. This is so profound. Go ahead.
My pound of flesh.
American churches today are where the universities were 10 years ago. Pretty heavily Marxist.
Freeze it. Freeze it. Churches are today where the universities were 10 years ago. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Infiltration within the church. Enemies within the church. They fought the cultural war in the universities, and now they're coming for the churches. Go ahead.
Not quite there yet, but they're well on the way. Many of the seminaries and Bible colleges are definitely already there.
That message that they're going out and taking the world is not, you need to repent of your sin, receive Christ. Instead, the message that you actually have is they are under the weight of racism or sexism or homophobia, and then we need to unify them together.
I'm gay, I'm 29, I'm a youth pastor in New Jersey.
I'm straight, and I'm also a youth pastor in New Jersey.
We're planning on sharing life together for the rest of our lives, which we're not totally sure what that looks like. Obviously, Nick is straight, and he does plan on getting married. When he has a wife one day, she'll make those decisions with us.
The future damage of what we're doing now is just going to be enormous.
The entire fabric of family, personal wealth, private property, all those things are out the door. And everything is the state. They believe the state is God.
They don't define justice the same way as the scripture.
Oh, no. It's going to be an equality, all right. And it's going to be a totalitarian Marxist justice.
Enemies within the church. You can go online and you can purchase it. It's not much. It's like maybe $5 or something. I can't remember what it was. But then you would have it. And it's 2 hours, and it's a long one. Enemies within the church. So you see how to get it, how to stream it if you want to do it. I'm not going to take the time to go there. So here's what I got thinking about over the last, again, talking about with the family, everything that's going on, churches, different things going on, churches. Pull up number 9. Pull up number 9, because I'm going to present to you today, folks, you think logically. Does the average person that you come in contact with every day think logically? Do we even understand what logical thinking is? Or has it, especially with the internet, become nothing more than direct programming? And you become just a monkey who repeats what you heard Sean Hannity say, you heard whatever, right? Rather than logically thinking, you know, if that applies here, then it applies here. If it doesn't apply here, it doesn't. Logic. Be ready, because this isn't going where you think it's going to go when they start playing it, okay? Go ahead. An ICE elementary teacher. There you go. This is good.
Ma'am?
Yeah?
Hi. Do you work here?
Yes, I do.
Are you a teacher here?
I am. I teach third grade.
Okay. I have a question. I just moved here with my daughter into the neighborhood, and I was wondering if this is a good school.
Yeah, I think it's a great school.
Okay. So my daughter, she just came out as queer to me, and I was just wondering if this would be a safe learning environment for her.
We actually have a lot of identifying non-binary and gender queer students here, so I think she'd fit in just fine.
Okay, and I saw that you have a sign in the window. It says everyone's welcome here except ICE.
Yes.
If ICE were to come onto the premises, would you guys kick them off?
Absolutely. We believe in the safety of our students and our faculty, so we would have them leave.
Okay. Isn't that how immigration works?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that how immigration works? Everyone's welcome except illegals, and if they come into the country, we kick them out.
Why are you asking me these questions?
Well, it's a simple question. You should be able to answer it. You're a teacher.
Yeah, I don't know who you are. You're filming as
if you don't need to know who I am. I'm undocumented, ma'am.
You're on school property, and technically you're trespassing.
Ma'am, no one's trespassing on illegal land, so...
Okay, well, you haven't shown me an ID. I don't know
Oh, so now you need my papers?
Yes, you're on school
Are you the Gestapo now? You want to see my papers?
No, but again, our property, you're trespassing. You've shown no form of ID.
Ma'am, you don't need to know who I am. I am fleeing a bad school district in search for a better one. Have a little sympathy.
Unless you can show me proper identification, I'm getting security.
So you're going to call security to take me out simply because I'm an undocumented person on your property?
Yes, isn't
that how immigration works?
I'm asking you to move out of my way.
Like we do with illegal criminals that come into our country.
Provide me an ID of who you are.
As we do with illegals that come into our country.
Or I'm getting security to remove you from
As we do with ICE when we remove them from our country.
I'm asking you to please move out of my way. This conversation is no longer.
Okay, bye.
Do you see the logic? Do you see the logic at work, right? And they do this all the time to us, both sides, so that we can't even think clearly anymore. If we wouldn't let a foreign student walk into our school, why would we let a foreign person walk into our country? Show us your papers. When a cop stops you driving down the road, what's the first thing he asks for, Ray? When a cop stops you, what's the first thing he asks for?
Yeah, license.
Your ID.
Identification.
Your ID, right? But so if we apply this, show me your ID to other areas. What do you become? Homophobe, bigot, intolerant. You understand? You understand how the game is played, right? And it's through brainwashing. We've lost the ability to be able to think logically. Pull up number eight. Pull up number eight. So, what is logical thinking? By the way, raise your hand if you think they're teaching your children to think logically in school. Raise your hand. What are we going to do about that? Okay. So here are six types of exercises to improve logical thinking. Scroll down. I'm not going to, excuse me. What is logical thinking? Logical thinking is the process of using reasoning consistently to come to a conclusion. Right? So look at the battle we got going on in American Christianity right now, whether we will admit it or not. Sorry, pick up your toes. The Israel question. Would everybody agree that that's a big battle within the church? We can act like it's not going on. And if I opposed, let's say heaven forbid, I opposed Israel, am I not a Christian? Am I not a Christian? And is it possible that a lot of these things are going on, there are agendas behind it, and the devil and his minions have learned how to manipulate our thinking, right? Homophobe, how often do you hear anti-Semite, and we don't even really know what that means. So hang on, I'm going to open it up here, I promise. So there are six types of logical thinking. Number one, deductive reasoning. Scroll down there, Spence. Deductive reasoning. What's that? Well, deductive reasoning starts with a broad truth and it applies to specific cases. Major premise. All men are mortal. This is deductive. Socrates is a man. Conclusion? Socrates is mortal. That's called deductive reasoning. Right? Inductive reasoning means reasoning that draws broad conclusions from specific observations. After seeing 10 white swans, we might conclude that all swans are white. Might conclude that. Would that be true? No. No. So hang on. How many times do they, if you question somebody black, how often are you racist, 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 right? It's all based off inductive reasoning. Linear reasoning then is following a clear step-by-step progression, like moving along a straight line. So that would be, example would be solving a multi-step math problem by following known principles, okay? Four, conditioned reasoning. Got this one, Betty? Conditioned reasoning uses if-then statements to form conclusions. For instance, excuse me, if it rains, the ground gets wet. So it's raining. Therefore, the ground is wet. So cause and effect reasoning. Cause and effect, eating too much sugar may lead to health problems. This reasoning helps students understand real-world situations and consequences. It underpins scientific thinking, supports making responsible choices, cause and effect. And then we have what's called analogical reasoning. Analogical reasoning draws conclusions by comparing similarities between two thugs. So in other words, why can't I criticize a black guy, but they can criticize me? Why can't I criticize Israel, but they can criticize me? You understand it? So what they do is they pick winners and losers. Those who are involved in brainwashing pick winners and losers. Right now, would you think that the American press, Republican or Democrat? It's pretty clear, isn't it? And so what? Whatever you watch influences what you believe. Who told you that? And why do you believe it? So my premise today is, who told you that? And why do you believe them? Including, I hate to tell you this, that's why we have 42,000 different denominations. We go to war over non-essentials. Isn't that what John F. Kennedy told us about? Huh? Infiltration rather than invasion. And so we have a war going on. Come on now. We have a war going on. It is becoming so obviously manifest in front of us. The heart of the issue right now in American Christianity is Israel. Would anybody disagree with that? Don't pick a side. Don't pick a side. I'm just asking you, is that the heart, at the heart of what's going on? Hang on. I'm not picking a side. Go to number three, President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump, who we tend to support here, okay? We tend to support here. Now, just listen. Go ahead.
The United States backs Israel, but they back it less than they used to. I was having a lot of problems getting support for Israel, and I can't really understand it because I grew up in a world where everything evolved around politically. Everything evolved around Israel, and the power was amazing. One bad word about Israel, and you were virtually out of politics. Today, one good word about Israel, you're out of politics. All right. The United States.
Okay, you can stop there. Okay, so hang on. So, what about? Are you allowed to have one bad word about Germany? Are you allowed to say a bad word about Italy? Are you allowed to say a bad word about the Gulf of Mexico? Right? What is going on that we can't have free, clear discussions about these issues to the point where people will not watch the show anymore because of one issue? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I got more, but I'm going to stop right there because I want to hear what you think. And so do I, Coach Dave, as the host, do I tone it down because I don't want to lose viewers? By the way, viewers don't give me any money. I don't get paid money, big number of people that are here. But you would agree that some people right now are nervous. Have you watched what they do to us with racism? Does anybody notice that? If you criticize a black man, you're racist. Notice that? If you criticize a woman, you hate women, you're a misogynist. If you criticize the Cleveland Browns, you hate the Browns. Right? This is what we're dealing with, folks. And the programming, hey, David Arthur, you still out there, David Arthur? Are they brainwashing us over LGBTQR? And if you oppose any of those trannies, any of that stuff, you hate homosexuals. You get what's going on?
Yeah, it's propaganda.
It's propaganda. It's propaganda. And LGBTQ, is it propaganda in Israel? Is it propaganda in black? Is it propaganda in all this stuff? Who told you that? And why do you believe it? Go ahead, David.
Exactly. That's what I was telling the class a couple weeks ago. I noticed that one of the students was Muslim. And so somebody says something about transphobia. And I said, well, the transphobia is the same as Islamophobia and xenophobia and thisophobia and thatophobia. I said, it's all propaganda designed to guilt and shame us into, you know, leaning towards them and trying to either remain silent or promote them. And so that's what those phobias, that's what all this propaganda is for. That's what it's designed to do.
David, it's designed to make you feel small, stupid, to try exactly. to get you to shut your mouth, right? Because, hey, David, you're way offline. Come on, David. You know that those poor homosexuals, they have been discriminated against forever and ever. And we have to stop the hating of homosexuals. Right, David? Isn't that the way the game's played? If you criticize them, you hate them.
Well, yeah. Even I had a Christian, quote unquote Christian, podcaster reach out to me months ago, and we did a little show, and he actually asked me before the show, it was okay to talk about the trans movement, but he asked me not to attack homosexuality, even though it's wrong, David. We don't want to offend them. And so I didn't say, okay, I won't. I just smiled and said, I get it. And then during the show, I went off about homosexuality and the homosexual agenda. And after the show, he was like, you just couldn't let that go, could you? And these are Christians.
Well, it's David. It's that's the point that I'm making here, folks. They are separating, isolating us over what? Non-essential issues. That I'm not, if I criticize Israel, I'm not a good Christian. If I criticize Joyce Meyer, I'm misogynistic. It's the way the game is played. You with me? Okay, so pull up for me. Which one is it? I knew I was going to lose it. It's number 8. I think that's the wrong one. I think. That's not it. You had that up there once. Come on in, Susie, while I figure out where I am here.
Sorry, Coach, I was just trying to get in the chat.
You didn't want to come in. You're just putting something in the chat. Okay. All right. So are we able in the church to criticize a belief that someone, a deeply held religious beliefs? Deeply held. Are we? I'm trying to hear from you. Come on in. Somebody, come on in. Come on in, Adam. Thanks.
Hey, Coach, that last video that I did on Jack Hicks, I've received so much hate from so-called Christians that are calling me a satanic plant and a Jew hater and all this other stuff, all for just speaking truth and revealing truth. It's crazy.
Well, they don't agree with it, right? And so, folks, it is so programmed into our culture that if you oppose something, you hate it. Opposition has become hate, right? Opposition has become hate. And so look about what's going on in the programming in the public schools. What are we training the next generation? Are we training them to think, or are we training them what to think? And that is extremely dangerous, and we still don't get what's going on. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Coach, and God bless you. Hey, do not tone it down. Ramp it up. You stand for truth. And we are on your coaching tree. And those guys that take a NIL money or a transfer to another school, they find out that it's weak. They find out that, oh, man, those coaches just try to be everybody's buddy. And they always have an open door to come back. Coach, I appreciate all that you do and everybody in the locker room. And then what David said about how that guy said he's a Christian, he's not a Christian at all. He's a fan of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. He's not a Christian. I'm a fan of what the Ohio State Buckeyes do. I'm not an Ohio State Buckeye.
Oh, my goodness. This is so good, and this is so deep. One of the things to me that really, really encourages me. Look, if I put you in a room with Randy Lunsford, God bless Randy Lunsford, You probably wouldn't agree with hardly anything he says. But he can defend it. And then when he can defend it, then it makes you nervous because that's not what you've always been taught. What's the theme, Coach Dave Live? Who told you that? And why should you believe him? Who told you? Okay, so let me go a different direction with this, because this is, you trust history. You trust history. Pull up for me number 4. Guys believe in giants, the Nephilim, fallen world, world before we got here. This is fascinating. This, now, here's what I want you to do. You guys ever heard of Khazar? No, what's the name of it? Oh, my brain went dead. It'll come back to me. This is a video. Play, just started. And then Spencer.
Europa.
Just, not Europa. That's not what I'm thinking of, though. You're right. Yes. Qataria, right? A civilization before this civilization. Okay. Now, just play a little bit of the clip of this and then stop and then go a couple minutes. I'm going to put in the chat because I want you to watch it, right? Talking about this unbelievable large. Well, go ahead and play it.
Is often presented to us as a linear, understandable record. However, the most amazing secrets are often hidden in plain sight, captured in the art of past centuries. If we cast aside our usual skepticism and turn to the artistic heritage of the 18th century, especially the works of Italian masters, a picture of the world opens up before us that completely overturns our ideas about ancient civilization.
Okay, hang on a minute. Here's the question. We're going to show you a little bit more of this. How did they build these buildings? How did they build these buildings back in the 17th century? Go ahead. Okay, keep that thought in mind. Go ahead.
Civilizations. The works of that period serve not merely as museum decorations, but perhaps as the most vivid evidence of the existence of giants in the relatively recent past. It is important to understand the context of the era. In those times, before photography was invented, technologies for capturing reality were different, but no less developed. Italian artists of the 1700s were famous for their striving for absolute accuracy. Their paintings are not the product of wild fantasy, but a documentary chronicle, transferred to canvas with photographic detail. These masters conveyed reality exactly as it was, without distortion or allegory. It is precisely this fact that makes what is depicted on their canvases so intriguing and even frightening for the modern observer. Upon close examination of the cityscapes of that time, a striking detail is revealed.
Look at that picture. Freeze
on
it,
busy.
Look at the size of some of these people that are walking, right? Why would they paint a picture like this? Why would they paint a picture with a bunch of really, really good, real tall guy right in the middle and those real little people? And most of the people are tall people. And then, go ahead, keep playing. Hey, Spencer, as you do this, just kind of move ahead because I want people just to kind of get a feel for this thing, okay? Go ahead, just do that.
If you look at the architecture surrounding these characters, it seems too majestic and monumental for an ordinary person, as if this entire world of stone was designed and built not for us at all. When we shift our gaze from the mist, they seem absurdly high, and people in old canvases filling these openings with their height quite naturally. A persistent, almost physical feeling arises that we are living in someone else's stage set. It is as if humanity moved into an abandoned city built for a race of titans. And now
Spencer,
we are trying
to show them the steps. Go back to where the steps. Look how big the book is. Go back and show them where this. Look, the steps. How big this. Start to play that.
Thinker will immediately ask a logical question, one often used by skeptics to destroy the giant theory. If all these buildings were built for people 3 meters tall, why then are the steps of the stairs leading to these temples and palaces of a quite standard size, familiar to us? It would seem inconvenient for a giant to shuffle along tiny steps. However, this contradiction has a frightening and completely logical answer, which opens an even darker page of our history. First of all, we should not forget the possibility of coexistence. If we accept the hypothesis that giants were the ruling elite and people of ordinary height made up the serving class, or simply lived nearby, then the architecture had to take into account the interests of both. But a different scenario, connected with global change.
Look at the steps!
From the primitive
chisels,
and we up to reduce them to the necessary size. But what about objects that cannot be changed? There are artifacts that break any attempt to explain their existence from the point of view of the anthropometry of an ordinary person. In museums and private collections around the world, there are things that a person of our height physically could not use, and these objects are neither symbolic nor ritualistic. Take, for example, ancient folios. We are not talking simply about big books, but about giant tomes weighing up to 40 to 50 kilograms, with a binding height exceeding a meter. The official version states that this was done for solemnity or to fit more text, but try to imagine the process of reading such a book.
Go ahead.
For an ordinary person to turn one page, wall guns have stocks that are impossible for an ordinary person to brace against their shoulder. The trigger is too far away. We are told that they were if not impossible. All these objects, books, swords, guns, instruments, were created with perfect ergonomics in mind, but the ergonomics of a species, not our own. This is not symbolism or hyperbole. These are the everyday items of real giants who once held them in their hands, just as naturally as we hold smartphones.
Wow, go ahead a little bit more.
And if the
go
material evidence is Gothic vaults of medieval Europe,
look at that.
Forming a single stone chronicle that we stubbornly refuse to read literally. Ancient Egypt provides perhaps the most extensive and vivid material. The walls of temples and tombs are covered with bas-reliefs and frescoes where the same plot repeats with frightening regularity. Figures of enormous height stand next to people who barely reach their knees. Official Egyptology has fed us a convenient explanation for decades, calling this hierarchical perspective. Scholars claim that the size of the figure in the drawing depended exclusively on social status. The pharaoh was depicted as a giant because he was godlike, and his servants and enemies as small to emphasize their insignificance. But if we discard this imposed dogma and assume that ancient artists who possessed incredible skill in anatomy and architecture simply recorded reality, everything falls into place.
A man holding a lion.
This is not an allegory of power, but a documentary depiction of biological difference. We see not metaphorical generations.
Yeah, move it ahead, Spencer.
And what we are used to considering anomalies may actually be the key to solving the riddle of our true origins. Looking at archival photographs from the late 19th and early 20th centuries, we often stumble upon images of people of phenomenal height. Official medicine hastily hangs the label gigantism or acromegaly on them, attributing everything to hormonal failures and diseases. However, upon close examination, many of these patients look like absolutely healthy, proportionally built, and physically strong people, devoid of the bone deformities characteristic of the disease. This suggests that before us is not a mistake of nature, but a manifestation of powerful genetic memory, a sudden awakening of an ancient recessive gene. Perhaps chains inherited from those very titans who built antique cities and posed for Italian artists still slumber in our DNA. From time to time, nature glitches in the program of shrinking humanity, and people are born into the world bearing the physical appearance of our distant ancestors or predecessors. We live in an era of genetic oblivion, but the blood remembers what was crossed out of history textbooks. The very fact of the appearance of such people in our time serves as living proof that the giant civilization did not vanish without a trace, but dissolved into us, mixing with the more compact species of survivors.
Put in the chat. Put in, what say you? Come on in. What say you? As Bill O'Reilly would say. What say you? Chad, your hands up.
Yeah. Okay. This, seeing the video and the height of those fellas, and then that, especially the Egyptian one, it reminded me of a saying that used to be out there, maybe still is. It says, cut them off at the knees. And so when these troops were fighting these guys, they couldn't stab them in the chest, so they took them out of the legs. You know, and that's where that term, I think that's where that term comes from on this.
Good point. Good point. By the way, folks, you want to do more research on this? My brain started working again. Just look up Tartaria. Type that in for him up there, Spencer. Tartaria. Tartaria. By the way, they explained then Tartaria away with what they called the mud flood. Have you ever heard that before, folks? The mud flood? The mud flood? The civilization tracking Tartaria, the Tartarian Empire. What does Wikipedia say about it, Spence? What does Wikipedia say about the Tartarian? A group of pseudo-historic. They don't know for sure. Conspiracy theories, right? Including ideas of a hidden past and mud floods, which originated as pseudo-scientific Russian, not pseudo-scientific, right? Pseudo. Are we getting any pseudoscience going on now? So coming back to Coach Dave's theme, who told you that? And why do we believe him? How do we know history is true? And if they're able to manipulate history like that, are they manipulating us now? And what everything we see going on around us? Is the Epstein list real? Who's on it? Is the FBI really honest? Is government really? Yeah, you see where all this goes? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, weapons of our warfare, not carnal but mighty through God, to pulling down the strongholds. What is the hidden history? So I was thinking Amen. Last night. So last night we were at the family gathering, right? I want you guys to think about this. I know I went to ancestry.com. I could show you that. How many of you personally knew your great grandfather? I did. I personally knew my grandpa George. I personally knew my grandpa. I personally knew my dad. I personally knew me and my brothers. I personally know my children. And now I personally know my grandchildren. Six generations just within, in my little time frame, six generations. How many generations back does all of this go? And what's the saying say? That the winners write the history. How many out there knew six generations? Can anybody tell me they knew? Since our granddaughter, well, I'm not saying this out of line. If my granddaughter has a child when I'm alive, that'll be seven generations. Think how much history has changed in those seven generations. Think about how history about 9/11 has changed. Think about history of J6 has changed just in our short period of history. So again, come back to the question. Who told you that? And why should we believe him? I'm trying to shut up, waiting for somebody to come in. I got more, but I don't want to show you. Come on in. Randy. Thanks, Randy.
Coach, good. I like it.
Randy, I think it's a good show, but I'm not getting any feedback here. Come on.
Well, I always give you feedback, Coach.
I know you do. Well, I know.
And I'm usually, we're on the same page. But, you know, Coach, information's great, and it's great to research. I learn a lot from that. But I always have to bring back, Jesus came. He came. Okay, he set everything. He set the standard. So I love the talking about the Giants, and I do. But I got to bring it back to his. He's the standard. I got to measure it all. From him. So I don't know where the feedback's coming, Coach, but anyway, so I just tell everybody, don't get too far removed from Christ, or you will be looking into something and creating something that's not biblical, a narrative of the Bible. So that's a temptation we all have to deal with, Coach. I just want to throw that out.
So, ancestry.com and my great grandmother. God, I was took his last breath. I lived with my grandparents. They took care of me.
Hey, Coach, your voice is terrible.
Audio is not in the line.
Not coming through very well, folks.
that's why people aren't responding to me. Can you hear me now? Oh, jeez. Well,
Dave, no, Dave, don't think that the crowd's not responding to you because we're baffled. We're interested. We're listening. Okay. So keep going. Just keep going.
All right.
Boom.
So so I was thinking about this last night. I told Michelle as we're falling asleep last night, how far back do you know? How far back to you could your great-grandfather was my great-grandfather was an eyewitness to all that time, but he never left Blue Valley. He never left that little town he lived in his whole life. What understanding did he have of the world? And that would have been back, I think he was born in 18, help me out here. I think he was born in 1858. So I can trace my lineage to him, probably goes back farther than that, right? How much has the world changed from what my grandpa George knew in 1850? How much has the world changed since I was born in 1952? How much has the world changed since 1980? And the idea of trying to overcome propaganda and truth. And how about what you're learning in your church? Who told you that and why do you believe them? Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach, every time they try to change history, they're making their own story instead of being his story, it right. becomes their story, and it becomes absent of truth. And who's the author of untruth?
It's by design, isn't it, Adam? It's by Amen. Design. I guess that's the theme of what I'm trying to get to. We no longer can think logically. We don't think. Hey, how many times do you know of somebody who got in trouble for doing something stupid, and you said to yourself, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? Well, they weren't. They've been programmed. They didn't think. Mel, come in.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this stuff a lot. So, I mean, in my opinion, those buildings, they're supernatural creation. Like, we cannot create those buildings today. So to me, there's been an obvious reset. You see pictures of these grand buildings, you know, partially covered with mud. And then these people that are just standing there, they don't even look like they belong in the picture. Do you know what I mean?
So
I think where you can agree is, I mean, you look at it, but I think be careful of drawing the conclusion that's given to you. I mean, I agree that it those buildings are supernatural. You look at the intricacies of that, like that is not something that we can reproduce today. So
That's right.
Just say, take it all in, consider it all, and just keep going. But refer to the Bible, you know, check the Bible, you know, see what the Bible says about, you know, resets. I mean, there was a reset during, you know, the flood of Noah. So, I mean, I just keep going and studying it. Be careful of, you know, to consider all information.
What were the pyramids? And who built the pyramids? And how did they build the pyramids? And are they telling the truth about what they built the pyramids? And by the way, what about the mounds? Mounds all around here. What are they telling us? The Indians built them. What? The Indians? Which Indians? Well, the Hopewell Indians. The Hopewell Indians built the mound? Where are the Hopewell Indians today? See, the inability to think logically. That's like what I try to do. Okay, can I show you something here? Okay, we'll make you mad. Get number five ready for me. Get number five. Okay, hang on. Before I go here, can we still be friends at the end of this? We can still be friends. Somebody tell me, how long was Israel without a country? How long was, can anybody, a Bible scholar that can tell me how long they were taken from there away? Then when there was literally no Israel. Judaism, it was Judaism, but there was no Israel, okay? How many years was that?
From AD 70 to 1948.
From AD 70 to 1948, there was no Israel. Now Adam. Was there Judaism?
Not in the form it is today.
not in the form that it is today, but there were the Jews and all that, right?
Yep.
So imagine Jews throughout the world with no homeland, just out with everybody else, spread out throughout the world. Dare I say this? Interbreeding. Come on. Wasn't the country of Israel in 1948? Well, did you guys know this? when the Bible talks about the synagogue of Satan, consider this. Go ahead.
The world's dirtiest secret is that the exterminated Jews in Nazi Germany were not considered real Jews. They were considered Khazar Russians and Eastern Europeans whose ancestors converted to Judaism in 740 AD under their king, King Bulan. Their bloodline dates back to the Turkish tribes and to the powerful Empire of Khazaria that once controlled all of Russia. Arthur Koestler, who wrote The 13th Tribe, claims that over 90% of today's Jews are racially non-Jewish and have no genetic relationship to the 12 tribes of Israel. Today's Jews, says Koestler, are more related to Attila the Hun than King Solomon of Israel. 2,000 years ago, when the Roman conquerors evicted the 12 tribes from Israel, the largest tribes, called Dan and Naphtali, settled in Denmark and Norway. Their Viking king, called King Canute, one of the world.
Wow, huh? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Somebody rescue me here. Somebody rescue me. So, see, look, I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm not anti-Israel. The Bible said those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, the Bible says. The Bible says that, right? I'm in trouble, man. I mean, I'm not supposed to be talking about this kind of stuff. But this is at the heart of the whole idea of programming, brainwashing.
Amen, Coach.
Huh? And see, here's the thing. I'm not allowed to say anything about it. Some of you will leave. Some of you will leave. So what's the word? What am I now? What am I now because I asked the question?
Anti-Semitic.
I'm anti-Semitic. I'm anti-Semitic. No, I'm pro-truth. I'm pro-historical truth. I'm not anti-Semitic. What? There was no country. Adam, say that to me again. 70 AD.
Until 1948,
there was no Israel. Were there Jews? Yeah. Yeah, the diaspora. Inevitably. Oh, man, I'm in trouble. Come on, man, Randy.
So, Coach, read history and read how many times that Judaism tried to rebuild the temple. And they couldn't. It got shut down many times. And I can show you several, but you need to find it yourself. Go read. God is not going to ever let it be built because, Coach, you know why? Because Jesus was the third temple. Why would he need to do anything else? So we have to separate self-fulfilling prophecy from what prophecy has already been fulfilled. And Mel said it best in the chat. She said, it's a PSYOP. 1948 was a PSYOP. And when you realize it, you're not anti-Semitic. You're not anti-anybody. But you just find, you see the truth. It's that simple.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, some of us are getting nervous, right? Some of us are getting nervous. And yes or no, do we build denominations and break fellowship over these non-essential issues? Yes or no? Yes or no, right? And so we have to look then, what have they done to Christianity just in your lifetime and my lifetime? The acceptance of homosexuality, right? The acceptance of abortion, the acceptance of gay marriage, the acceptance, on and on and on and on, a watering down of the gospel. And do we think it just started now? How do you think they ended up with all the 42,000 different denominations? Because the devil was constantly sowing discord amongst the brethren. That's the way I read it. Boom. Boom. So, what's the theme at Coach Dave? Who told you that? And why do you believe it? And so much of what we're seeing going on all around us right now is propaganda. Somebody help me out here. Still no arrests for anybody since Trump's been in office. No arrests for any crime from anybody. What's going on? What's going on? Is there a manipulation going on far greater than what we can understand? Epstein list. Is it real? Is it not? I don't know. But we have absolute proof of what some of the guys in the FBI did and all that kind of, and ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening. Well, we'll get J.D. Vance in. We'll get J.D. Vance. Where'd he come from? Anybody heard of J.D. Vance 5 years ago? Now they're pushing him for president of the United States after Trump's done. What? We're pushing in the state of Ohio, Vivek Ramaswamy, a Hindu governor in Ohio. One nation under Hindu. Oh, one nation under many gods. And we see, I'm sorry. We see conservatives, whatever that means, conservatives saying, well, we have to vote for him. He's a conservative. What does that even mean? I feel like I'm all over the place today. Save me, Dave Allison. Please save me.
No, Coach, you're doing fine. You're good. Coach, we just read in the scripture this morning where it says that those who deny Christ are the Antichrist.
So it says.
That's what it says. Israel has rejected Christ. They Amen. Are the Antichrist.
Amen.
And people have to realize Ben Shapiro has rejected the Christ. He's the Antichrist. Mark Levin has rejected Christ. He's the Antichrist. You have to understand that when they're talking to you, they are of the Antichrist. Yeah. I know it's hard. It's the same thing back to the rat poison. 90% of what they say is truth. It's the 10% that'll take you out. Thanks for letting me share.
Ben Shapiro is trying to take over Charlie Kirk's organization. Do you know that? Ben Shapiro is a non-believer. He does not believe in the Messiah. And he wants to lead the reformation of the young people. Not even a believer in Messiah. And we can't even recognize the difference. We can't get it, right?
One last point about J.D. Vance is if his wife is truly a Hindu, how strong is his faith in Christianity where he can't convert his own wife?
Or convert to her faith, something, right? A house divided against itself cannot stand, and we're going to make him, we're going to make him president of the United States and his own house is divided? Wow, folks, now you're being programmed bigot, shame on you. Shame on you if that's the way you think. Lauren.
Well, you've seen the interview that Erica Kirk did over the weekend, right? With Cardi B. Was it Cardi B? She called J.D. Vance an assassin right after Cardi B recognized President Trump. And she, said something about President Trump and then brought in J.D. Vance. And literally Cardi B called him an assassin.
Well,
that's where we are at. He speaks that he's a Christian, but I mean, what about his kids?
See, so here's the point. Well, I'm running out of time, folks. See, Christians don't demand Christian leaders. We don't demand Christian leaders. We don't demand it. We don't vote for it. The house is divided. A house divided against itself can't stand. We have the body of Christ, the churches, not voting for the same candidate. And we wonder why we don't understand divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. Adam, wrap me up here today.
I just wanted to say if J.D. Vance was a Christian, he wouldn't have married a Hindu.
He wouldn't have married a Hindu, would he? And then I'm going to let me ask this question. Where did he come from? Who elevated J.D. Vance to vice president of the United States? Hey, friends, maybe president. Maybe president. Where did he come from? Jack, quickly. Jack, slowly.
Keep going.
Well, I'm trying to do. Gino, come on in quickly. We're running out of time here.
A lot of us married women that weren't Christians before we were saved. He married his wife in college. That doesn't make sense.
Come on. Hey, Gino, come on in. Come on, Gene. Can't hear you. You're muted. You're muted, Gene. You're muted, Gene.
Okay, now. Okay, let's stop and look. Where did Obama come from? He came from nothing, too.
He just came from his father, the devil.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I got to run. It's 8 o'clock. See you tomorrow.